Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations stance point. With your host, Dan Rennie.
Welcome to Let's Talk. Before I begin, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where we broadcast from today and pay respects to elders past and present. Well, today we're lucky enough to be yarning to Minister for Indigenous Australians, Linda Burney. G'day, Linda. Thanks for coming on today.
Thanks, Dad. How are you?
I'm really well, thank you. Firstly, congratulations on just over 100 days since Labor came to power. Busy
it feels
times for
like
you lot.
300 days, but thank you very much.
No worries. What's your initial feelings on how things are going under the Albanese government?
I think things are going fabulously under the Albanese government. We have absolutely hit the ground running. I've just finished a round table with a whole lot of community development providers talking about our exciting new plans of scrapping the program and rebuilding it so that it's real wages, real conditions and real jobs. We have passed legislation on climate change, which the previous government in a decade couldn't do. I think we've reaffirmed our position in the world again as respectful partners. We have done some fabulous work in the early childhood sector, the health sector, right across the board. I think we're doing really well.
Minister for Indigenous Australians and a blackfella yourself. Who's your mob and your country, Linda?
Yeah, so thank you for that. I come from Wiradjuri territory. People that don't know where that is, it's in southwestern New South Wales. It's a huge part of New South Wales covering the Lachlan, the Macquarie and the Murrumbidgee River. And I come from the bottom part of Wiradjuri territory on the Murrumbidgee. So around Leeton, Griffith, Narrandera, that part of the world.
Now, we've been unpacking treaties, over the last week here on Let's Talk. And, you know, my question was, and I asked various people the question of why now, and I think the overwhelming response was we've had more representation than ever before. That's a really good feeling to know that, number one, the Minister for Indigenous Australians is a black fella. Looking around the Parliament itself, I mean, the representation is loud and proud.
It certainly is. There are 11 First Nations people in the Parliament. I'm represented, actually, for our population size, which is terrific. And those people, or those members of Parliament, are both in the Senate and in the House of Reps. I'm in the House of Representatives myself. And the other thing is that it is across parties, and independents as well. So it's not just in one party, but what I'm so proud about is that 6 of the 11 are actually in the Labor Party.
Mm. And the right people for the job as well. It's not just putting a black fella in there or tokenistic. They're the right people for the job at hand.
One of the things that's really important, and I'm glad you've made that point, Dan, is that your Aboriginality is who you are. It's what your identity is. It's what you stand for. But for me, and for everyone else, I'm the member for Barton. So I have a responsibility to represent everyone in Barton, not just Aboriginal people. For example, Patrick Dodson is a senator for Western Australia. His job is to represent everyone in Western Australia, not just Aboriginal people. And that's a really important thing for everyone to understand.
Lots of things happening, Linda. Treaties, I should say. Voice to Parliament, Uluru Statement. I mean, how does it all fit together? And I mean, it does seem a little disjointed sometimes, perhaps lacking a little bit of direction. Would that be fair to say?
No, I don't think that's fair to say, and let me tell you why. But it's important that you express that, because if that's what people are feeling or experiencing, that's what we need to take on board. But the Labor government has adopted the Uluru Statement in full, and you remember that said three things: an enshrined Aboriginal voice in the Australian Constitution. Now, that requires a referendum, and that's what we're working on at the moment. But at the same time, we've got to take note of what else is in the Uluru Statement, and that's the establishment of a Makarrata Commission, which will have two jobs: to oversee a process of truth-telling, but to also oversee the process of agreement and treaty-making. And in that, we have to take on board what's happening in each state and territory, which varies across the country. But the most important thing on our plate at the moment is working towards a successful referendum, so that an Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander voice will be part of the Australian Constitution, which means it recognises First Peoples for the first time, but also the voice is permanent. And the job of that voice will be to advise the Parliament on issues, policies, legislation that affect First Nations people.
Mm. The consultation process, how will you and the Labor Party be utilising black media?
Well, I can assure you that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander media is going to be absolutely fundamental to us going forward in terms of what will be more than a consultation. It will be a proper negotiation with First Nations people about constitutional reform and also treaty and agreement making and truth-telling. We will be announcing in the next week or two how we're going to start those consultations. And the other thing that's really important is that a referendum is a vote by everyone that's on the electoral roll. It's just not our mob. So the process has to first and foremost include our people, but then there has to be a huge education, community engagement process across the whole country. That's what's going to be required.
Linda, what does it practically mean on the ground for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people?
It will mean two things. It will mean that the decisions that the Parliament makes about our mob, issues that affect us directly, will be decisions informed by our people. The second thing is, well, and that will mean better outcomes for our people, be it health, native title, education, life expectancy. Those issues around closing the gap are absolutely fundamental. But the second thing it will do is it will, you know, fix up the glaring omission that our people are not recognised in the Australian Constitution, which is shameful.
It is shameful, and this truth-telling process is so important. You know, there's a lot of non-Indigenous people in this country who feel proud to call themselves Australian and come from this country, yet they diminish or totally get rid of the history of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. How will you change that?
Look, do you know something? I feel like there is a new day dawning in this country. You are right in saying that there are many people that are fairly ignorant and don't know the truth. But my experience is that there are more and more people that actually want to know the truth. So it's important what happens in schools and universities. It's important what happens in playgrounds. It's important what happens in footy clubs. It's important what happens right across the board in relation to truth-telling. And I see local government as having a really important role in exploring what the truth is at a local level. And that's going to be the power of this. What happened in my neck of the woods that we need to understand to go forward together in healing?
The levels of xenophobia and racism reach right to the halls of parliament. In your opinion, is this country racist?
That is a big question. look, I think I wouldn't describe it as racist, but there are certainly racist things that have happened. There is certainly racism writ large in our history. Attitudes in the past have been appalling. But that's our challenge, is to inform Australia to the truth, and I think that goes a long way to addressing the issue of race.
The truth's been out there for a long time, though, Linda, and people refuse to acknowledge or accept. I mean, the old saying is you can lead a horse to water, but you can't force them to drink the water.
Well, that's a very true saying, and I've accepted that there is probably going to be 10% of the population that will never change their attitudes, never change their mind, no matter what you put in front of them. And I, quite frankly, am not going to waste my time on that 10%. Mm. But I will waste my time on the other 90% of people that know or want to know the truth, because the truth is liberating.
I mentioned before, I touched on it, the confusion around the voice. I'll give you an example. A death in custody happens. Let's use Kumanjai Walker, the case there, for this instance. How does a voice to Parliament prevent or provide accountability?
Well, I would like to think that if there was a voice to Parliament, that there would be good advice on how to address issues around deaths in custody. But the Labor Party is very familiar with what you're describing. And at the end of the day, it's states and territories that have responsibility for custody, for policing, and for things like bail laws and all those things that we know about. But that doesn't mean there isn't a role for the Commonwealth. And what we've said is that we will provide national leadership in the area of justice, Aboriginal justice. We're putting $79 million into justice reinvestment programs across the country. And the other thing that we're working with the states and territories, or the other two things that we're working with the states and territories on, is increasing the age of criminal responsibility. At the moment, it's 10. I mean, kids that are 10-year-olds, they're children. Mm. That it should not apply. So we're working to increase the age and working with states and territories, because it's them that has to do it. But that doesn't mean the Commonwealth doesn't have a role. And the other thing is that we are working closely with states and territories on real-time reporting for deaths in custody. At the moment, it is pure luck if the media or the community hears about death in custody. What we're talking about is that institutions must report every death in custody, and I'm not talking about just Aboriginal people, I'm talking about all people, real-time reporting. Now, the Commonwealth can't wave their finger and say that's what we want. We have to work with states and territories to get them to cooperate with that. And the other thing is that we are putting $13 million into Aboriginal legal services across the country to make sure that Aboriginal families can properly participate in the coronial inquesting process.
Shaquille O'Neal, a very famous African-American former basketball player, now commentator, and here in the country at the moment. Community response has been the questioning of Shaquille O'Neal's relevance to Aboriginal affairs in this country, advocating for the voice. Has some questioning the timing? What are your thoughts on that community feedback?
Well, can I just make it very clear about this? I welcome absolutely Shaquille O'Neal being interested in The Voice, being interested in the well-being of Aboriginal people in this country. It was he that approached the Prime Minister's office to meet and to talk about these issues. And I have to tell you that, yes, there may have been a mixed response on social media, but let me tell you that the amount of young people that were so excited, that knew who this person was, millions of young people across this country, that this message has reached because of Shaquille O'Neal. And for those people that are saying, well, he's got no business doing this, well, he's got as much business as anyone else as far as I'm concerned, and I very much welcome his interest. And that's what it was. It was actually interest. And when you have a look at what he's done in America in terms of social justice and lifting people up, it's a genuine, absolutely genuine interest.
Good on him. I think, I was surprised to...
I tell you, what is bloody tall.
How did that meeting go? Can you take us behind the behind the cameras, I suppose, and how did the discussion
look,
younger?
It was genuine. We talked very much about the challenges of constitutional change in Australia, and I gave him a killer boomerang that was made by a young Wiradjuri man, and he very much appreciated that gift.
Mm.
The Prime Minister presented him with bunnies jumpers. He was very taken by the use of the word jumper in Australia instead of jersey. and he really did want to know about the situation for First Peoples and what The Voice would mean.
Well, as we said at the top, just to tick over 100 days since Labor came into power, and I'd say it's been a welcome change to the previous government. And 100 days isn't a long time to get a lot of things happening, but your mob have seemed to make things happen.
Well, it's a matter of working with communities. I've been involved in around Aboriginal affairs for probably longer than you've been on the earth. And, you know, you don't put yourself higher than anyone. You know, you listen to people that have got more wisdom, more understanding than you. You hire good people and you work hard.
What does the next 100 days look like?
well, trying to bed down the consultative process for The Voice to Parliament, trying to bed down or start the consultations around CDP, making sure that I participate in the cabinet process. All of the portfolios have Aboriginal components that the ministers are really taking very seriously. And most importantly, getting out, meeting and talking to people, particularly people in the government agency that is now providing support for me, recognising that the public service has an important role to play, and most importantly, talking to people like yourselves so that you can get the message out to what we're up to.
We certainly appreciate your time today on Let's Talk, Linda. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Minister for Indigenous Australians, Linda Burney, on Let's Talk.